You know, many of you know I grew up in Montgomery County, Maryland. And I had a lot of Jewish friends, and I always appreciated learning about the Jewish faith. And even once I went into the seminary, all the more, because of course Christianity is a fulfillment, is the fulfillment of Judaism, and it's so interesting to see so many of the connections. And I wanted to focus on one of those today because we have something that doesn't happen very often, but our Jewish brothers and sisters began their annual feast of Passover just last night. Now, Passover and Easter usually fall around the same time, sometimes not always, but how interesting this year that it fell last night. Passover begins the same night we began our Easter vigil, outside blessing the Easter fire, blessing the Paschal candle, blessing the Easter water in which the two babies are about to be baptized. And there's, just want to focus a little bit on this with Passover, because what's being celebrated here? Well, remember in the Old Testament, remember in the book of Exodus, the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt. And remember, God sent Moses to Pharaoh. Remember, let my people go. And Pharaoh was not having any of it. And so God told Pharaoh, God told Moses to tell Pharaoh that there would be these plagues. And God was giving these plagues so that Pharaoh would eventually let the Jewish people go. And remember, plague after plague after plague, nothing worked. And finally, there was the 10th plague. And the 10th plague was that God was going to strike dead in the middle of the night the firstborn son of every family from, as Scripture says, from Pharaoh's son on the throne all the way down to the animals. God was going to do that as the 10th plague to finally get his point across to Pharaoh to let the Jewish people go. But do you remember what God told Moses to do? God told Moses, he said, procure a lamb, a spotless lamb, and this is going to be, God says, I'm going to do something marvelous in your eyes. This is going to be a brand new feast. And he said, you're going to slaughter that lamb, and you're going to put its blood on the doorposts of your houses and the houses of the Jewish people in Egypt, so that when the angel of the Lord goes through Egypt on that night, striking down the firstborn, he will pass over those houses that have been anointed with the blood of the lamb. And then there was the whole ritual where they had to eat it. They had to eat the flesh of the lamb. They had to eat it with unleavened bread. And there was a whole big annual feast that came out of this. But remember what happened. Sure enough, they did that. They anointed their doorposts with the blood of the lamb. The angel of the Lord passed through Egypt and passed over the Jewish households, striking down the firstborn in all of Egypt. And at that, the Egyptians and Pharaoh got the message, and they literally kicked them out of Egypt. They wouldn't want them to leave originally because they were their slaves. They said, get out. And they gave them gold and jewelry and just said, get out, please. We see that you have God on your side here. Now, it's interesting because St. Paul, in that second reading we heard in his first letter to the Corinthians, sounds a little bit like something you might hear on the cooking network, because he says, brothers and sisters, do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? But he's going on in here because he says, our Paschal lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. And the point in this, brothers and sisters, is that Christ is the Passover lamb once and for all. He is the spotless lamb of God. The Lamb of God that God himself gives us, the Lamb of God who is himself God. God gives us the Lamb of God. And he is sacrificed for us. That's what we just celebrated in the Triduum these past 3 days. Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. And St. John Chrysostom, a bishop in the early church, he made a beautiful connection between Passover and Easter. He said, just as the angel of the Lord passed over those houses in Egypt that were marked with the blood of the Lamb, so now the angel of death will pass over those temples of the Lord, those of us. We are all temples of the Lord by virtue of our baptism. The angel of the Lord will pass over those temples of the Lord whose doorposts, our lips, are anointed with the blood of the Lamb of God, with the Paschal Lamb. And isn't that what we do in Holy Communion? And in just a few minutes, those of us who are Catholic and who are disposed to receive Holy Communion will have that opportunity to come forward and to receive the sacred flesh of the Passover Lamb of God and have his blood anoint the doorposts of our temple. This connection, brothers and sisters, is inexhaustible. And I'm going to kind of leave it at that. I'm not going to delve too much more into this, but to make the point that Christ, as St. Paul says, Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. And he says, therefore, let us celebrate this feast not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What St. Paul is telling us is by virtue of your baptism, he says, by virtue of your baptism, and not just your baptism, but your constant participation in the sacramental life of the Church, receiving Holy Communion, going to confession, being involved in the sacramental life of the Church. St. Paul is saying, by virtue of that, the angel of the Lord has passed over you. You have been given a pledge of eternal life. But he doesn't say that, okay, the sacraments are magic, you can just do whatever you want. He says, get rid of the old yeast. Now, he said right in the beginning, just a little bit of yeast affects the entire dough. Yeast is a bad thing here for Paul. He says, get rid of the yeast of malice and wickedness. His point is just a little bit of that malice and wickedness that remains in our lives, that remains after baptism, that remains despite our constant participation in the sacramental life of the Church. We need to get rid of that, brothers and sisters. We need to get rid of that because just a little bit of it can affect our lives. I know many of us, hopefully all of us, gave up certain things for Lent. And you know, some of us, we give up things that aren't bad, but we just want to kind of do them as a penance. And you know, you give up, you know, chocolate or this or that, and that's fine. And you know, now that Lent's over, you can go back to those. But I know some people also give up things that they kind of need to give up. You know, people give up smoking because you need to stop smoking. People give up certain bad habits because you just need to cut those things out. I would encourage all of us, brothers and sisters, those things that you gave up for Lent, in that second category there, heed the words of St. Paul today. Don't allow even a little bit of it to remain, because if it remains like yeast, it will affect the whole rest of our lives. So let us celebrate, as St. Paul tells us, let us celebrate this feast today. Christ is risen.
He is risen.